Take it away, Dolan.
Go ahead, such say something. Dickhead. Introduce the pod, Dolan. You brought me all the way out here, texted me where I was at. Introduce the podcast.
Hi, this is the Nick Rose Podcast. Here, 6 o'clock on Tuesday on rainy colds. With Drone Tower, Thomas Dolan, and Nicholas Rose.
What's going on?
I love that.
Jerome.
I love that.
Thanks for being our first person on the podcast, Jerome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, no problem. Our makeshift podcast.
It's pretty fun.
Give me this. Thank you. So, our goal here, I didn't even really tell you much about what we are trying to do, like, specifically, but we really want to just have, like, an open dialogue, like, let the conversation flow where it is, but the main premise to kind of the structure of it is revolving around what people don't know about you, really. And it's, like, not always, like, that deep. I mean, it can go wherever it goes, but
yeah, I could
basically
be
it's just, like, hey, you all know Jerome as this kind of guy. You know what I mean? Like, I know you as, well, I mean, that's a little biased because we do have these long-ass talks sometimes, but you'd be like, oh, yeah, I know Jerome from Penn State. Like, he's always a happy guy. Like, he's always vibing out. We know he loves music. Like, all that kind of stuff. But, like, who the hell are you for real? Like, you know?
At home, I color in coloring books. I like childhood.
Shut up.
I like childhood coloring books.
Shut up. Where are you from?
I'm from West Philly.
Hold on. Can we just start off with saying congrats on finally graduating?
Yeah, finally graduating. Thank you. Officially unemployed. Yes.
What's your degree?
I had a degree in broadcast journalism and a minor in history.
Oh, nice, nice.
Minor in history? I didn't know that.
Yeah, and a certificate from the John Curley Sports Journalism.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you, Dolan. Too.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks.
We had some classes together back in the journalism days.
Woo. Let me tell you. Those things were rough, weren't they?
Yeah, no. They were, especially because I wasn't going into the field. It's like basically doing math for me. But West Philly, born and raised.
Yeah, on the playground. Oh. I did not spend most of my days. I was in the house playing video games most times. Mom was pretty strict, so like I said, didn't go to the playground much. Stayed on the block, like, and that was kind of it.
Block captain?
Yeah, really. Like, my dad and a couple of, like, our neighbors, like, just run the block. Like, they organize block cleanups.
Corner?
We got the middle house, cause so you have to come see us.
All right.
Yeah.
There's no pass. There's no avoiding you.
Yeah, you have to come see me.
What neighborhood, though?
Overbrook Park.
Overbrook.
Yes,
so
sir.
From those areas of Philly where
basically,
you
like,
park, the nearest park.
Isn't that basically Delco?
It's actually right next to Delco. Yeah, yeah. It's like, if you know Route 1, City Line Avenue, Roosevelt Boulevard, we are the intersection.
I stay away from them parts.
From Delco?
I just stay away from them parts of Philly. I stay on the north side.
Oh, here we go.
North side.
Here we go. T Dole.
Yeah.
Wawa Dolan telling you about how much he loves Philly.
The rest of his life, we'll be talking about senior summer.
Big facts. 305? Was it 3005?
No, 3007.
Oh, whatever. You don't have those weird numbers. I wish I could put a number in my bio.
What's your address now?
Don't worry about all that.
Oh. Where are they going to find you, though, after you blow up on the pod?
They definitely will not find me. I'm going into hiding if I ever blow up.
So you grew up in West Philly. I don't really know this, actually. I never really asked all of this type of stuff. We just always get into, like, normal conversations. So where did you go to, like, did you go to Catholic school?
Yeah, I went. So
where did you go to grade school at?
So I started at a daycare, which was, like, kind of, like under the table. It's not like a...
You're the first person to ever shout out their daycare.
Definitely shouting out my daycare. My daycare. Miss Khadijah looked after me for, like, the longest time.
Sounds bad. Was she bad?
She was mean and nice at the same time. She had, like, that hard-nosed love that, like, definitely was appreciated. But seriously, she looked out after me for, like, since I was, like, 3 or 4. And then when I had to, like, apply to, like, some private school my parents put me in, they like made me skip preschool. So because like she was like teaching me all this stuff when I was in daycare.
Wow.
And she didn't have like, she probably doesn't want me saying this, but she wasn't like one of those people at like a certified daycare. It was just like a drop your kids off and the parents went to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she just had me like learning all the stuff.
But don't you think that that's kind of the, like, that I feel like that's kind of the norm for majority of the world, but they don't really, no one really realizes that. I mean, yeah, no one realizes that, but that's like really, at least like around Philadelphia or in Philadelphia or like cities, it's basically like, I need to go to work. My kids need to go somewhere. It's not like higher education.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't put them in like daycare centers, like in counties, there's like daycare centers. You have like a childcare facility that everyone in the county puts their kid in. But in the city, it's usually someone you know, someone you grew up with who watches kids, and that's where they go. And it, like you said, it's not uncommon at all, but people don't talk about it enough.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's why you shout out.
Yeah, shout out Miss Khadija. She's the real one.
And then, so where was grade school?
So I started at this place called Woodbine Academy for kindergarten to first grade. And then I went to... From second to eighth grade, I went to St. Donato's, all in West Philly. Woodbine was in Winfield, and St. Donato's was, like, right around the corner. Well, not right around the corner, but a couple blocks from me. It was awesome, actually. It was a great time.
And then, so, what did you want to be when you were a kid? Like, when you were at these schools, and, like, who were your big influences?
And, like, so at Woodbine, I don't think I even thought about any of that stuff because I was in second grade. I think I wanted to be a pilot or something.
Wow.
But when I was in grade school, I think everyone starting out wants to be a football player or a basketball player. Then I got to about seventh grade, and I think I decided I wanted to do real estate because I like money. And then I realized I didn't want to do real estate pretty quickly when I got to high school. But like, I think I was just like, I didn't really have many influences in terms of like career wise, other than favorite players and stuff like that. Outside of like, obviously my parents were the biggest influences, and they're still the biggest influences, but I didn't have like these career people that I'm like, oh, I want to be like that person. I just didn't have those people. It was like, if it wasn't my favorite athlete, I really wasn't worried about it.
Until when though? Because you must have, because... I mean, you graduate college, I know you have tons of aspirations.
Yeah, so. Obviously, probably in college is when I started, like, seeking out people that I admired and something that once I kind of determined exactly what I wanted to do. So once I determined that I wanted to talk to people and, like, create stories and things like that, that's when I kind of started picking out people in mainstream fields. I was like, I admire their work. I admire the way that they construct a narrative, or I admire the way that they can talk on the radio or whatever, wherever it is. That's when I decided, and those people are like, Bomani Jones is to me just like the greatest person ever. Like, just the way he maneuvers areas that you're not supposed to talk about in sports is pretty awesome to me. I like really look up to him. And then just people who showed me a lot of stuff, like Ike Reese, John Marks at WIP, Kurt Chandler.
Kurt's the man.
At Penn State. Yeah.
My guy. I was just texting him last week.
Yeah, he's awesome. Then obviously I have like influences that were like my peers, like Brian McLaughlin up at Com Radio for Penn State, Tom Shively, David Arroyo, and Chandler Copenhaver all were people who I didn't have to say much to them in terms of, can you show me this? It was just being in the room with them, you just learned a lot. Travis Sutton is another person I like just can't, like, I can just rattle off their name, but like those people, if you just sat in a room with them and just watched them talk heard them talk about whatever the sport it was, they would just be on go. And shout out, because I'm just remembering names, Eric Olson and Zach Kaplan too. They were just people who were like instrumental, and just watching them work definitely like helped me understand what it is that I wanted to do.
So obviously college was a pivotal part to you kind of discovering new avenues, new ways to do certain things that have spiked your interest, you know, moving up towards the college time. But like, that really was where you realized like, oh, this is not only like how it's done, but like these are the different options that I can actually like voice my opinions, voice the news, like kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I think I always was a person that tried to put people on, and a lot of it was always music. Early on, maybe like senior high school, I used to do this thing on Snapchat where I would play a song in the background and then do like this grooving thing on the snap, on like a Snapchat story. And like that was just my way of being like, oh, this is what I'm listening to, and if like people wanted to listen to it too, they could listen to it. And that same thing is kind of, it's kind of the same structure of how I still do basically anything that I
definitely
do.
Because like even I mean music obviously is a big bond between you and I. Stayed up Saturday night till 5 a.m. talking about it, but it could go anywhere from Kid Cudi to Billie Holiday. But
yeah,
you do that now on your Twitter, like even like this is the past decade, this is what I think rated and why, and thoroughly put why. Like, how did you get to a point where you when did you start educating yourself on music and like to the depth you go? Because you almost know so much that like people just don't understand like what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm
like
not,
how certain things derive from other things and other cultures and other times in life. Like,
yeah, I'm not a classically trained, so like I can't play an instrument. If you put an instrument in front of me, it's going to be like putting a million piece puzzle in front of me. I can't do anything with it. But I think this is where the history minor comes from. What I always used to do, like we said, we talked about this till 5 a.m, is samples. I got into hip hop really, really early, and my dad always used to point out on a new song if something old was happening, and I think that's what kind of opened my like mind and ears up to like, I know that sound from somewhere. I'm going to go find where I know that sound from, and then I'm going to talk about like why I know that sound. But in terms of like talking about why I like a song or why I like an album, I think a lot of times we get into this thing where we hear a song and everyone goes, oh, it's a lit, or it's a vibe, or whatever the word of the week is. Everyone says it, and that's how people describe a song. And I used to do it too, and I don't shame people for doing it. I don't think people realize that they're doing it, but it's like, well, why do you think that is? Like, what about the song is creating that? And that comes from that Com Radio time, that time spent with Chandler and David Arroyo, where I would read their work and we would get in arguments on the radio about what songs and what albums we liked and why we didn't like them and things like that. And that's where I kind of just creating a thought. That's all it was, is just thinking deeply about why do you like a song? Is it the way they say a certain word? Is it the way, you know, they can just elongate a word? Is it the ad libs? Is it just the sample? Is it just the appreciation of they went and found that and put it in a way that no one else in the world could have thought to put that sound? That's kind of what made me really start talking about music in the way I talk about it.
All right, so going back, that's tell us about.
Because I was just about to say, let's bring it back.
Let's bring it back to, where'd you go to high school?
You know, where I went to the greatest high school in the universe, Roman Catholic High School for Boys.
So
I think they're in a game right now. They're playing Bonner. I think they're down 2.
They're probably going to lose to Bonner.
All right, relax. No, it's a home game.
But what made you choose Roman? All the high schools in Philadelphia.
So I guess this goes back to that inspiration thing. When I was in fifth grade, I encountered my first male teacher. I never had a male teacher before. His name was Mr. Eichler, and he went to Roman, and he had this, he always had like them winning. I think they won like a football championship. It seems it's probably ages ago, cause Roman hasn't really been great at football in a while, but he had it on his desk. But he was just like awesome, like in terms of like understanding what like young, like guys just need, because you know, everyone has like, I think most times, most of us have had mostly female teachers until maybe high school and college. Then it kind of starts to mix in. But this was in fifth grade, like I said, and he was just showing me just stuff like, you know, if you're not into something, there's ways that you can still have to, you still have to maybe go through it, you know. So like for me, I hated art class. He'd be like, look, you still got to go to art class. You still have to work through art class. if there was times where he was the person kind of like introduced me to like why I like language, the way he would just put, you know, you have vocabulary words, like put it in a sentence. That like people, I mean, this is common practice, but I don't think people really understand why a teacher might have you do that. It's so you can use the word, so you know how to, when time comes, you don't have to say, there's a moment in Succession where Kendall Roy, I don't know if anyone watches it, yeah. he brings his girlfriend to his dad, and she goes at the dad's celebration, oh, this is awesome. Yeah, that's really awesome. It's really awesome. And then he brings her aside and goes, you said awesome, like a lot. And obviously that's a piece of shit thing to do. Like, don't do that to anyone. But that's kind of the point. You want to not be bland. You want to just be able to talk and say a variety of different words and keep things, you know, fresh. And he did all those things. And also, you know, if I wanted to go to movies or something like that, if I wanted to do something, if I wanted to play football, if it was any of those things, he was always like pointing me in a direction to go. And when the time came, he was like, yeah, you might want to think about going to Roman. And when Roman came to my school, it was just like, yeah, this is the place I want to go. Because out of the schools that came when you were in eighth grade, high school started coming to your school and say, you know, you might want to go here.
They give you the free stuff, the free
They give you the wristbands or whatever it is. The
T-shirts.
Whatever it is that they give you. And Bonner came, and at my high school, the high schools that came were Bonner Prendy, Roman and Hallahan, Newman Garetti, and then West Catholic were like the five major schools that came. And West, I didn't want to go there because I figured a lot of kids that I was in grade school were going to go there. And I think at that time, I just wanted to do something new. Bonner Prendy, when they came, they may have said five sentences about what they do academically. Everything was, we're kind of good at football, and we're kind of good at this sport, and we're kind of good at this sport. And when Roman came, they said, we're trying to build young men. We're trying to do these things. We're trying to do this stuff. And before I got there, you know, that's what sold me, you know. It's like, that's what they're trying to do. That's what they're trying to do. And I say that now, and I'm laughing, but they kind of did craft a lot of the way I think. When I got there, I was like, I'm the only person from my high school. I knew three people at the high school prior to, and they were all maybe 2 or 3 years older than me. And I didn't hang, like I said, I was on my block. So I knew them, but I didn't like know them that way. So when I got there, I was literally, it was me and whoever was sitting next to me in homeroom. If I didn't, and we would talk. Like that's how Roman, and once I was there, it definitely was a crafting of me. Roman definitely made a lot of who I am today, for sure.
Well, who were you before, and how did it change you though?
Who was I before?
So, like, what was it like your childhood, like with your friends and with good call, by the way, with your friends and like just your childhood, like what was the norm for you? And then like, how did it switch? Like your environment, like your influences, the people around you, like how did that switch?
So growing up, like I said, Overbrook Park is right in between Delaware County and Philadelphia, but it is a part of Philadelphia. So growing up, I was usually on the block if we were playing football, manhunt, basketball, whatever the case may be, that's what I was playing. But I also was a kid, if I didn't feel like going outside, I would not go outside. I would sit in the house and play Madden, and my dad would go, stop being antisocial, and then I would go outside. But also, when I went to summer camp, and in my neighborhood, it's almost all the way black. But when I would go to summer camp, my mom would put me in summer camp, and I hated it at the time. But when I would go, it was much more mixed, like Upper Darby. Is like a really mixed like place. It's very diverse, and there, that's when I got introduced to like lacrosse and like street hockey and soccer, like playing those sports. Like we didn't play those sports, and that's kind of what, that's my childhood. Then in school, my childhood is, he's the smart kid who listened to music that he heard on Guitar Hero 3, Legends of Rock. That's him. And it was cool because they also knew, like, they could also come up to me and I would rap every single word for a Millie or Mr. Carter. So it was like, it was still acceptable, you know what I mean? It wasn't like, oh, like pushing them away. It was just, they knew I was definitely different than most of the guys or even the girls in my class, just off of that alone. Like, I wasn't just listening. Like, when we have days that you could pick a song that you could play in the class, everyone would pick a rap song or R&B song or whatever. And I think the song I picked was She Rocked Me All Night Long by AC/DC. Like, and everyone was like, what is this? And I was like, yep, this is the song I'm picking. And I was just always the person that was going the opposite of whatever anyone else was doing. And that was childhood. They're doing this. I'm going to go do this. Not because I want to do this, just because everyone else is doing that. I want to do something else. And it was just, that's just kind of how it was.
How did your lifestyle change, though, when you started to, like, go to Roman? Because, I mean, like, you're obviously in the city now. Like, that you're not before, but you're, like, in the city.
Yeah, I had to take the L and stuff every single day. I had to, you know, take a bus, take the L, take the sub every day, every single day. And then in high school is the first time I struggled academically. So I got put in this honors program, and this is kind of when I realized that education is different in different areas of the city and furthermore of the state and things of that nature. It's just different the way that you can be educated. In my school, in elementary school, we spent a lot of time on religion, a good amount of time on English, a lot of time on math, but not in like breaking down like how these functions work. But we spent a lot of time on it. Very little time on science and very little time on social studies. Around 7th and 8th grade, that stuff kind of just dissipates because they're trying to make sure that you're on track mathematically. But when I got to Roman, I realized prior to that, because that's the case, I was not tested in elementary school, like academically. I could go home, I could play Madden all day long, get on the bus, do my homework, and then go in there and get straight A's. Like that was academics to me until 8th grade. At Roman, the first test I took was a quiz on Romeo and Juliet the first day of high school, and obviously it was summer reading, and I didn't do it because, like I said, school was easy. I don't have to read. I can spark notes it. I don't need to read it. I got there and I got a 0 out of 5 on the quiz, and I was like, this is new. I've never encountered this before. Obviously, it's a quiz. You don't have to bring it home. You're in high school. Your mom doesn't have to sign it, so that was good. But it was still like, okay, this is a shell shock. But then math happened, and it was like, I don't know what's going on in here, like, at all. Like, every time he put something new on the board, I got more and more lost. And from there, that was like a changing point in my life where I was like, oh, I actually have to like do work for school. And it was just like, if you don't have study habits and then you learn it, hey, you actually gotta like spend time to learn something. It's a very annoying period, and especially when you're a teenager and you think you have all the answers and you think you know every last thing, and all your parents are saying is, can you like spend some time on this? And you're like, I'm trying to. But you're if you don't have those study habits, like I said, I didn't have to develop them, kind of you're putting yourself in a bad position. And that's what I did for my freshman year. I just didn't know that in biology. I don't know biology. Yeah. I don't, like, what are you telling me about mitosis for or whatever? I don't know what that is. And it was just that first, like the first day of biology, they started talking. I was like, I don't know what you're saying. And I stuck with it, and I like barely passed both of those classes. I think I got D's in them. But that was a changing point in my life in terms of how I determined that I was going to educate myself.
All right. How was meeting people in high school?
Pretty easy. It was the easiest thing ever, actually. Meeting people at Roman was the easiest part of high school. That's what I thought was going to be the hardest part. Going in, you know, I don't know anyone. The first day, you're in a room with people who look like you, people who don't look like you.
Like, did you go to high school with, like, most of your classmates?
No, from grade school? I didn't know anyone. I didn't know a single person.
Because, like, for me, I went to high school with, like, probably, like, 85% of my...
Yeah, that's how it is in most neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Everyone, like, goes in the same funnel. If you're that's from...
Yeah.
If you're from a certain section, you go to the neighborhood high school or the neighborhood Catholic high school, whatever the case may be. But again, like I said, I was the only person from my grade school that went to Roman. And when I went there, I didn't know anyone, but by the end of the week, I was talking to people like constantly. And I think a lot of it is because Roman is so small. So you're in the same classroom with the same people every period, you know? So for 8 periods of the day, you're with the same people, even at lunchtime. And then once lacrosse started, that was like a whole different experience. Now you're with a lot of people that you kind of are in classrooms with, but they are now playing the same sport as you, and your guys are trying to accomplish a goal. And also you're with each other, sweating, you know, running all day long, doing all the workout stuff till 6:30 p.m. and the day might start for you at 8. So that's the people you're with. So it wasn't that hard at all. It was just talk, honestly.
How was your lacrosse team in high school? Were you successful?
We were not successful.
Yeah, I didn't think so. We didn't have a good crew as I knew.
People I know on the team. We...
Franahan, for example.
I never made the playoffs as a lacrosse player. We were pretty bad. It was just a sport, like I said, that got introduced to me at a summer camp, and yeah. I was like, this is really fun, like running around trying to catch the ball.
Wanted to make that little joke real
quick.
Yeah,
because you know, yeah. But what happened was I actually did my job very well. I will say that. Whatever, my job was always, that's the best player, shut them off. Like, just because I was fast. So the coach was, don't let him get the ball. All right. Easy enough. And that was it. That's kind of what my job was once I turned it off. That's kind of how I found my niche in lacrosse and sports.
How did your lifestyle change outside of class going to Roman? Did your environments change, or did you always go back to your neighborhood and stay?
Not much.
In your neighborhood?
What happened in high school was the kids that I would hang out with were, one, they were a year older than me, so they were already in high school. And again, none of them went to Roman. So they would go do their own things during the weekends and stuff. And I didn't go to Roman. And again, I had a strict mom, so I didn't even like ask. Like my freshman year, I didn't go to one thing outside of a lacrosse game for high school. Everything was class, come home, class, go to lacrosse, come home. And that was it. The weekends were mostly whatever it is that I wanted to do in the house, or if I was helping, or my family is like really important. So like our family's always doing something. So that's kind of how I would take up my time. Like on a Saturday, my aunt, too, is another huge influence, but she might be having like she might be at like a flea market selling.
What's your aunt's name?
Sakina.
Why is she a big influence for you?
Cause she gets bags at all times. She's always getting a bag.
Why? What's she do?
Like, everything. Like, that's the thing. Like, she does every single thing. Like, anything you can think of, she does it. She is an extreme. She learned how to extreme coupon. Do you know what I'm...
I've watched that. Yes, is she on TLC?
She would give you 60 dishwashing detergents and be like, all right, this was 50 cents. And you're like, all right, bet. Like, she gets a bag at all times, and she don't take shit from no one. She's like, she goes after a bag, she just gets it. Like, and that's...
Is that where you get some ambition from?
For sure. For sure. Like, she paid off her house super, super fast by herself. Like, didn't have, like, a husband or anything. I want a house, bought a house, paid it off. Oh, I'm going back to school to learn this. Gets a degree. Going back to school to learn this now. Gets a degree. And that's it. It's just constant.
Is it your mom's sister?
Yeah. And it's just constant, like... Yeah, I'm going to go do this. Oh, they're doing this thing in real estate where they're flipping houses. Yeah, I'm going to learn how to do that. And now she's doing that.
Damn.
She just gets bags. It's crazy. It's absolutely insane.
What is your mom and dad's names? What do they do?
Monica and I'm a junior, so my dad's name's Jerome too. My dad is a respiratory therapist at Thomas Jefferson, and my mom is, and she works at PNC Bank, and she like just looks, she looks over like accounts and stuff like that. So I don't know like her title.
Well, what did they grow up in West Philly as well?
My dad grew up in Germantown, and my mom grew up around the city. They moved around a lot. Like they, it was my mom, my grandma. And then they have like a big, like they were like a big, like close family. So it's, so four girls and one boy. So five and my grandma, and they like moved around the city a lot. They spent a lot. My mom says they spent a lot of their lives in South Philly though. And that's like where they spent a lot of time, but they did move around a lot.
And your boy by your dad?
It's Germantown. Like they stayed.
Does he have a big family too, or?
We generally have a big family. Like just generally, just the household family. My mom's household family is bigger. My dad's household family is my mom, or is my grandma, my granddad, my dad, and his sister. So my gotcha. Aunt. Yeah.
And how different was their upbringing from your upbringing? Is it one of those things where like? They were like, Jerome, we want to give you the light. Because it sounds like your mom is a strict mom, or at least was, and obviously until you got a little older, your dad was however, like.
They both were pretty strict growing up.
Is that because they didn't have that? Or is that just because they knew that and they wanted to give you it because they saw the reciprocal?
So with my dad, I definitely know it's because he know what it took. Like, I don't talk to my dad a lot about, like, how he grew up just because I've learned a lot of, like, men in general don't like talking about like their upbringing, but also black men from his era, like from that grew up around the 80s and stuff, it was, I don't know how many people know, it was a pretty tough time to be like black in America at that time, and I don't know how many, he's probably lost several friends or whatever it is, so I just don't talk to him much.
Are you curious about it though? Would you want to talk to him about it?
Not really.
No,
if he's been pretty, the way he does it is pretty, the way he gives it to me is, it's always like a lesson. There's always like, if we were taking a ride, just me and him together, and he needed to give me a lesson, he would give it to me and I would take it. I don't think that it's my place to go prying into something that he doesn't want to, obviously doesn't want to talk about. So I just let him rock out. He's happy. He's happy now. He's like me. He can make friends easy, you know. So I don't really talk to him about it. I just present, you know.
Is that where you think you get your social kind of traits from? Is
no,
from your
my
dad?
Mom.
Really?
Yeah, my mom's also makes friends really easy. My mom is a jokester and a troublemaker, like me. Like she's always causing trouble. Like just like if it's instigating like a fight between like her sisters or like. Instigating a fight between me and my dad, or instigating a fight between.
She's gonna let her opinion be heard.
She's going to cause trouble.
Yeah,
it's not even. I don't even know how much of it is. She really means it. She just she causes trouble. She really. That's, and they're all like that. All of my sisters are like that. You gonna let her talk to you like that? You gonna let her say that to you? And it's just all day long.
So then, how many of your? I mean, you were pretty fortunate though. The difference between college and high school is that. You probably went to college with more school friends than you did going into high school with school friends, right?
Yep, completely opposite. So when I went to college, I knew almost, I think, 6 or 7 people from high school to college. And then from high school, my actual high school. And then I met Dolan one night. He had a dog treat. I don't know if anyone knows that.
Tell the story.
So
I'll let you have it.
we were this is probably my junior or senior year because I'm at a house party in high school, which didn't happen much till, like I said, my junior senior year, and I didn't even drink. But Dolan was there, and I was just being weird, eating like just nachos, plain, no salsa, no nothing, and all I hear is, "Yo, Dolan, you won't eat that dog treat." And I turn around
for $10,
and this kid is standing next to me, drunk. Pulls out the dog treat.
It was an ugly sweller party, Christmas time, all happy.
Pulls out the dog treat and takes the biggest bite. And I went, "What the? Where the fuck am I at? Like, what the fuck is going on?" And that's when I met Dolan. That's the first time I ever met
What's
those.
What's your side of that story? Meeting Jerome.
There is no other side. That's the side.
Honestly, I don't even remember meeting him like during that occasion, but I met him plenty of other times. Like,
yeah, we met that. after that.
Or after that, yeah. That fact. But like different like keg parties.
Yeah,
and
like
stuff.
Yeah, once I started going out more.
But I'm gonna say that night, obviously from why the fuck would I eat dog bone? I was obviously intoxicated. Someone drugged me. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, it's for $10 and back then $10 got you a lot. Got you a slice of pizza.
Yeah, got you enough. And but like you said, like after that, it was like, oh, I just start seeing this dude.
That was like 5 years ago.
But you were in high school.
We're younger.
You, that, you know, you don't
that
have.
Got you,
I was gonna say, you sound like, you know, slice of pizza cost a slice of pizza.
If, you know, inflation.
All
right,
put
and all
it this
that.
Way. Back in high school, got you $5. Got you $2.40s for the night, and that was a good night for you.
Yeah, for me, it was just like
we used to do Brass Monkeys, $2.40s. And you pour orange juice in them.
Yeah. And I learned that from them in college. Like, so even though I was at these parties, like my junior and senior year, I wasn't drinking. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was just like, maybe I have a beer if that was like, if I was like, fuck it, I have a beer. But even then, it was just like, wasn't drinking. But I just started seeing him around more. We just had
Jerome was really good friends with like Fran.
Yeah,
really good friends with Fran actually, but friends with all the Roman kids. I hung out with all of
them.
So that's how I knew him.
Yeah, once
we all hung out together,
and then that's when we got up to school. It was like, this is just a big like.
Did you all know that you were going to school together?
I knew. Obviously, the kids in my high school, I knew were going to school. I didn't know they were going to school until like a month out. I think Fran had told me, he's like, yeah, I'm staying with Rico and these two, my like two best friends. And I was like, who? And he's like, Dolan and this guy, T-Mac. And I was like, bet. Like that. I was like, bet. And they had like an apartment and stuff like that. So that's where I was at all the time. I like moved
They've
in
lived
there.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, I moved in there. It wasn't, I had a dorm, but I was like, I'm not staying here anymore. I'm just going to move in with my friends.
That seems like that was the move freshman year. Is that like, I mean, cause I wasn't there obviously, but that everybody was like, whoever was in the dorm, like Pat, they always talk about how Pat used to do that, like Rocks and Drew's place too.
Yeah. It's cause I mean, once you're with your friend, like you, college was different. Cause I guess you could just be with your friends, like, all day, like all day long. And I was like, all right, I don't want to go to the dorm. I don't know any of these people. None of these people talk like me. None of these people like the things I like, or, you know, or think the way that I think. Is, I think that's the biggest thing. It was like a lot of people they just thought really different, and like they were way too nice. And not that it's a problem to be nice, but if you were sarcastic, they could get offended. And yeah. I was like, what is this? I was like, I just didn't, it was uncomfortable in that sense. Like you could be mean, playfully mean, and they took it as being mean. And it was weird. It was just weird to me.
Junior and senior year were like definitely like the best years of my life. But like freshman year was definitely up there.
That was
a fun year and best. Like there's so many memories. From
yeah,
there.
We just used to just do. It was just so much.
Spade lived in our apartment. Kieran, three of you lived in our apartment. Someone was always
yeah,
there.
Yeah, the apartment was for four people.
It was always clean.
Yeah, the apartment was for four people and there were seven of us. Someone was always on the couch. Someone was always on a chair.
We always busted chill too.
Like, yeah. It was just like, yo, what are we doing? Like, I don't know, put a game on, put a movie on, like, yeah, whatever it was. Like,
I feel that. Like, I got to experience that once I got up there, but that's also, like, all I knew as well. Because I didn't know, like, I'm almost, like, I don't know how much did were you ready, like, for college when you got to college?
In terms of what?
In terms of everything, really. Like, it's a complete lifestyle change.
I knew going into it that I was going to class.
Yeah.
That was a fact. I was like, I came up here. There is one thing. I was like, there's a reason I came here. And I don't know. Like, even when I had went in, I think I went into school going, I think I'm going to do marketing.
I was the same way.
Yeah. I realized quickly that I didn't like the math. Again, math.
Okay. Yeah, same.
That's when I actually realized that. I was like earlier in high school, it's like, okay, I'm just, maybe it was just the teacher or whatever the case may be. But college, I was like, I can't. Like, my brain doesn't work this way, especially when I realized that I was getting A's in English and anything creative. It was like, this is really good. Keep doing this. Keep doing this. Yeah. And that kind of pushed me to where we are now. Whereas, you know, that part I knew. Like, I was going to class. Even if it wasn't every day, it was, I'm going to be there most times. You know what I mean? I'm going to make the effort to go to class. But in terms of, like, going out, like I said, really strict parents, that was not even... Going out on a Tuesday night was the wildest thing to me. I was like, it's...
Tequila Tuesday.
Yeah. They were like, yeah, we're going. What are we doing tonight? I was like, it's Tuesday. I'm going to sleep. No, we're going out here. We're going to go drink. And it was like, oh, all right. Like, this is new. Or, like...
I had this similar...
Yeah, it was like...
I had a very similar... Because, like, freshman year, going to community college, and that was, the same. I was, this isn't like a competition, but essentially worse at high school than both of you guys, because like I didn't even get in. So I was, when I was at community college, give or take the first 2 months, I was like, I gotta get my shit together. Yeah. I gotta stay in class and do the work outside of, like, that was foreign to me, like, do work outside of the classroom. Yeah, it was always like manipulating something and getting past this thing or copying this thing or handing this in late.
Changing the words.
Like, it was just so much wasted energy trying to just get by because it was just lazy. But, and going out, I used to go out, like, a ton in high school. I didn't really have a strict, like, my dad wasn't strict about anything. He let me kind of do whatever I wanted, and we had a good relationship like that. But I as well wasn't, like, known as, like, some crazy drinker, some crazy partier. I went to everything, but, like, I wasn't, like, really the one popping off. And then at Altoona, once I got into Altoona, going into sophomore year, I was like, I know I got to go to class, because obviously I was like, I have a year. I took a year trying to get here.
Yeah.
And then now I have to spend this whole year making sure I get into state, because, like, there's no way I can stay here, right? Because the friends I'm going to make are going to leave. So, like, majority of them, at least. So, like, that was a big proponent for me. But the whole going out thing, dude, like, my first night there at Altoona, I only knew Drew, and he wasn't there. No one was in my apartment. So I got there. My dad dropped me off, and at the time, I didn't have my car. And I remember looking up at Pat, Kopko, Dre's, Chris's, their place. There was, like, strobe lights and loud music. And I was like, holy shit, like, what's going on there? And once I got up there, I mean, syllabus week, that made sense to me. Like, oh, I guess you're going out during the week. This is what people do. But then it, like, never stopped.
Yeah, it goes on the whole year. You're like, this is new.
Yeah, like, and then once I like, experienced the, I remember going to the soccer house. It's probably where I met you. Yeah. I think it's kind of where I met both of you, really, because there's other parties I was kind of meeting Drew's, like, immediate boys, and even though we're all, like, boys, it was, like, really, like, Pat, and Pat was a quick one for me, because, like, he had a car, we were going to Planet Fitness, like, yeah, all that shit, and then it kind of spiraled into, like, chilling at their apartment and stuff like that. But really, I became, like, friends with those guys when we all decided to go to Made in America that year, when we left, like, you know, that's a quick weekend when you're up at school. That's like 2-3 weeks in. Came back from Made in America.
That's Labor Day, so yeah.
Yeah, and I said to myself, like, I really don't want to, like, I don't care to go home right now, because I tried so hard to get away from, like, home. Like, and I remember I was like, but these guys seem really cool to me, and, like, it probably would be beneficial for me to, like, take some time away from this chaos that I'm about to get into to, like, become friends. But I remember, like, the first soccer house party I went to, I didn't, still only knew Drew, and he was already in there, and I remember he was like, just tell them, like, you're with me and you'll be fine. And, like, it's hard to explain to people because it's, like, Altoona, they think it's small, but, like, the soccer house is full of, like, maybe easily 200 people at, like,
that house was insanity.
Crazy and I was outside in line, and I was like, oh, I'm with Drew. They're like, you got money? I was like, nah, I didn't even know what to do. I'd never done this. Like, yeah. I had no idea. And then I think one time he came over during the day, and I met all you guys, and we were chilling for, like, an hour or two. And then it was before having, maybe, like, the weekend after, and you were having a party that night. And I think that night, like, you guys obviously knew who I was or whatever. I may have even started selling shirts right then too, so I kind of started to know all you guys more. But I remember you were always behind the counter, and that's how you and I became friends, because of music.
Yeah, I was just always
and
just
the you DJ and I music. Were always, I didn't really know people, so I was just vibing like with the music, and you guys were playing. I still think like the Soccer House played better music than, because of you, played better music than any bar I go to ever, or any other house party I've gone to.
We were big Shrem Life guys.
Yes, absolutely.
Big Shrem Life.
You guys got me on the Shrem Life. You guys got me on the Migos. You got me on to Trav.
I think we...
Kanye dug deeper for me, because Kanye was putting out like new types of music, and I was like Drew and Drew used to play. Drew helped me out with a lot of music too, but I mean that was all you guys is... He was getting it from you guys. You guys were getting it from him. You guys were all sharing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it was like that time is interesting in like my musical like... what I was like listening to, because it was a so it's really weird. I think when we look back at what happened from high school to when we got into college in terms of music, that's when streaming took off.
Yeah,
it's when like downloading a buying a song on iTunes became an absolutely foreign concept. It wasn't even normal. It was when
Apple Music just came out.
Apple Music came out. Spotify had been out for a couple of years, so people were getting it. And then they started doing the student discounts where
yep,
it was like, now it was like, okay, this makes perfect sense. $5 a month, I can do this easily, especially like, I had like a part-time job at like the cafeteria.
Yeah, you
like,
always had a job, dude. Yeah, that's was, also how I met you. Oh my God.
Yeah, I was always making
Port,
a solid.
At Port Sky.
Yeah, I was always doing something. And I was like, all right, this is, $5 a month at this point is like, that's an easy bill that I could pay or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's how I just was like, oh, I can get everything, like anything I want. I don't have to go buy anything. And that was, and that was, it took off for me.
You know what? Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's just then, because that's just when I realized that, oh, I'm going to listen to things that people just don't even know about. Like, people may have known, like, No Flex Zone or whatever, but I was like,
do they know Deep Cuts?
So I was like, but they got this whole album is just full of like just hits that I can just play at any point. And yeah, that's what I just started doing.
Because I remember that was a big thing. I remember like standing up on that table, but you were always behind the bar, you guys, and you would be like you guys would make Jungle Juice, and then like you kept a container under there for like
the people,
you and your boys.
Yeah.
And you were like, you would always just be like, you would call me over, and then I would just get drinks from behind there. And then I just started chilling with you, because that was where the speaker was at, and you would play music, and I would just chill next to you.
I spent more time, I think, sitting next to a speaker. Than
always had sneaky drinks.
Yeah. Always had crib. Always had sneaky drinks. That was like one of the codes. That and like always buy two. Like if we went to Wendy's 4 for $4, get something else for when you come home, because you're going to be still hungry. Like there was just like secret things that we just learned. The sneaky drinks was one of those things. It was just,
especially for parties, like, yeah, we always had a keg for ourselves.
Yeah, and we was like, all right, we're going to charge everyone $5 for their kegs, but we're going to throw up for our keg, so we don't have to go deal with all of that when we want.
And we'll hide in one of someone else's room.
Yeah, we'll just go to someone else's room and get the, like, that stuff was just like, I was like, yeah, that's when it was like, all right, yeah, these are my people. Like they're thinking here. The wheels were turning. It was fun.
Yeah, I'll never forget you put me on the Life of Pablo.
Yeah,
and the first day, well, like the
well,
the,
week, I had
the weekend it came out, and like we had that day load at our apartment, and you were blasting.
Sorry, the day
long. No,
day load. The day. Oh, well, for Nick Rose, it's the day long. The day long.
I'm still trying to tell y'all. I got loads to pay.
But I'll never forget. We were just blasting that replete.
Yeah,
whole album.
We were just, once we found the song, I think, once we found, was it Father Stretch My Hand?
Yeah.
It seems like it was so easy to find. But at the time, the first song on The Life of Pablo was Ultralight Beam. And we're all thinking about party. That's all we're thinking about. This Kanye album is going to have all this party song, all this party music that we can play at a party. And the first song you play is Ultralight Beam. You're like, all right, well, this sucks. Like,
crying.
Like I don't want this. We don't want this. But then, you know, you just spend some more time with it. And I was just like, wait, what's this dude saying in the background on part two of Father Stretch My Hand? Like, panda. I was like, what is that?
Yeah, and I thought it was Future.
Yeah, I was like, what is that?
Everyone did think it was Future.
I was like, what is that? Then you find like songs like Waves or like or like I missed the old Kanye going into it. Like, oh wait, this like really works. Like it was just fun. Like we were being DJs without DJ equipment at the time. And I don't think a lot of people like realized that's what we were doing. It was really fun. Like I always just think about my time in Altoona as just being like just fun. Like it was it was a lot of just realizing like, oh, this is like what I do. I can just find music and just.
Dude, I was the same way. Did you feel like that too?
No, yeah, 100%. Especially, I always just think of freshman year. Freshman year was the best year. Like I said, it was like I had so much. Like I said before, like a couple minutes ago, like junior and senior year, I'll do anything to go back. But freshman year is just up there with it, but not like
there. Yeah, junior senior.
Freshman year was so much fun. And so much memories. But sophomore year was all right. Like, yeah, I had fun. Don't get me wrong.
It was more responsible.
I was ready to get. I was ready to get the fuck out of there. Yeah,
that's what I also realized too is that by the end of freshman year, I was ready to like, all right, this is fun. It's time to next thing. But sophomore year came back around and it was like you had this break and it's like a refresher. You're like, oh, I do kind of miss this. And then like the middle of sophomore year, I was like, all right, like that's.
I had that too. I was. Even being there a year, like right away, I was like, I mean, I really like was figuring out who I was there. Well, not even really. I knew who I was, but I was like first time actually being myself, and people fucked with me because of it. And that was like, this is sick. Like, just the freedom you had to do what you want, say what you want, be what you want. Like, it was so fresh. But then, like, maybe like halfway through sophomore year, maybe like the. Like first break we had definitely besides spring break because spring break in Cancun was fresh but like right around that time I remember being like all right like right when you were starting to talk like when we were finding places for state
yeah like apartments and that, stuff. That's yeah when it's like
right after you know or no, I guess we already had it really first semester but because that's where I kind of became really good friends with Dolan.
When Dolan,
we had that one slot open, and I was like, yo, what about Dolan?
Slid into the Delco house, he became Delco Dolan.
That was not the Delco house.
That is exactly what happened.
We did not have a Delco house.
I promise you, when the house found, we were like, Dolan, what's going on? He's like, yeah, I'm living with these guys. We're like, you're moving to Delco, Dolan.
I guess they are. Still
to this day, people call me Delco Dolan.
Delco Dolan.
Even people that have no clue, like the story behind it, I get called Delco Dolan.
Yeah, because it was just, obviously, nothing wrong with Delco. Like I said, I live next to it. It was just Dolan. Dolan reps Philly so hard.
Yeah.
And now he's living in a house with everyone from the counties. It was like, oh, Delco Dolan.
I would say that. It's the county house.
Philly house. I ran that shit.
Oh, my God.
I did not run that.
I was the block captain of West College.
Maybe of our basement. There was a
pop going on
in the urinal.
R.I.P. to that urinal.
For real.
That thing was awesome.
That was sick, dude.
Hopefully I have money one day to have a urinal in my own crib. Them things
cost that much.
I'm about to buy one now. Put some fresh cakes in them.
Dolan, how are you going to sell to whoever you're living with? Let's put a urinal in the bathroom. Tell me that conversation.
The first piss. It's something different, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
Dude, that is.
Being able to.
Now I'm talking about the urinals. Being able to, at least when we were down there, and this might sound a little out of pocket, but. Someone can take a shit, someone can take a shower, and someone can take a piss at the same time, and no one's fucking each other up. That's a blessing. And no one gets that until you have it. And even we had a walk-in shower. I mean, we got hooked up.
I mean, it sounds fire. It's just, I can't imagine.
It became the community bathroom during our parties, and that was whack.
I can't imagine, like.
I started locking it.
Yeah, we did start locking it. We were like, nah, it's closed, yo.
I think we lied to everyone, too. That's our little confession if anyone ever hears this. It was locked the whole time. No one was in
there. The bathroom was not broken.
They're like, yo, someone's in there. Like, damn, yo, hurry up. But really, we just left the light on.
My gosh. Finessing in college was definitely the funniest stuff ever. Just like,
dude, yeah. we hit.
I always the just shit think, we did. Like, that just reminds me of times, like, when, like, girls would ask who was on the aux cord, like, at a party that we were at, and we would just go, nah, it's him.
Yeah.
And they would just, you would just watch them go around the room trying to, and they would end up back at you.
Wanting to put them I on already
told
song.
You, this person's on the aux cord, and they would keep going. It was hilarious.
Dude, oh my God. We used to, when some of our parties junior year got out of hand at state, we would just walk around being like, yo, fuck this house. Like, fuck these kids living here. Like, cops are coming. Like, get out. Like,
that stuff was pretty fun.
And there was always mini parties going on. There was, like, the multi-living room house party. And then there was, like, the Rox's and Drew's bedroom house party. Then there was Cardoza's loft party. And then there was, like, Jonah and David's room. And that was basically all the, or, like, our basement.
And that was just, like, the
and it was, like, literally, like, groups of people in those different types of groups. Like, if you knew, if you came down to our basement, you basically were with, like, Dolan's boys from home outside of his room or in his room. And, like, we would pop off in there. Sometimes there'd be a party going on there. There'd be a party going on down there. And the next day you would find out that, like, people were upstairs the entire time. You had no idea. Or people were down there the whole time and you had no idea. Like,
yeah.
That place was wild.
Yeah, I think I spent maybe two times there. I just was, at that point in time, I was just trying to stay in a crib. Cause
No, you came a good bit.
I came two or three times, I think. I don't think I was there, like.
Don't just got off the couch to rip ass, by the way.
Yeah, I think once
thank you, but those pants are tight. I think they're coming over. I think
Dolan rocks the office.
Thing. I know, yeah.
The polo.
9 to 5 thing. Dolan hits different. Looks like a peach.
Dolan, if you wore out a polo shirt and dress pants, I think I would lose it.
Wearing it this Friday.
Bet.
He's going out. Oh, Pat's home. Podcast Pat in the building.
Oh, Pat comes in with an overcoat. We feel underdressed, don't we?
Dude. What am I supposed to sit here in my shirt and tie for you when you come over?
Yeah, I thought this was a professional endeavor here. Yeah.
Dolan and I are sharing a mic. In January.
What's good, Patrick? How was work?
Whack. Is anyone hungry?
Yes.
Yes.
Dude. Let's do it.
Is that seems like a great time.
Yeah. All right, well, hold up. Wait, hold on.
American base.
What?
Yeah, check your notification. I just got notified.
No.
Yeah, bro.
Iran takes credit for rocket attack on U.S. base housing U.S. troops. Yeah. 10 rockets hit U.S. base. What the fuck?
I didn't want to interrupt the podcast, but for anyone listening.
Are you fucking serious?
Fuck that.
That's a live reaction, guys. Look at that. Live is beautiful.
No way, dude.
Yup.
All right.
Dude.
Well, can I do the outro?
Yeah, please. I was going to ask you more questions, but I love you, but now I don't really care about your answer because I have some people to call. Yeah.
I'm going to do the outro. So, my name is Jerome Taylor, and this was the Nick Rose Podcast featuring Tom Dolan and his roommate, Patrick.
Oh,
we had a great conversation. I hope you listen to their podcast in the future. Thanks.
Jerome, thank you for being on here, honestly. I love your opinion, and hopefully when we have a real setup and more than one microphone for you and one microphone for Dolan and I to pass back and forth and a table to sit at and everything, that you could come by, we could just plug in and be good to go.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, brother.